Third part, question 18. Christ's unity of will. Article 1. Whether there are two wills in Christ. Our Lord says in Luke 22:42, "Father, if thou wilt, remove this chalice from me, but yet not my will, but thine be done." And St. Ambrose, quoting this to the Emperor Gratian, says, "As he assumed my will, he assumed my sorrow." His will he refers to the man, the Father's to the Godhead, for the will of man is temporal, and the will of the Godhead eternal. Some falsely placed only one will in Christ, but they seem to have had different motives for holding this. For Apollinaris did not hold an intellectual soul in Christ, but maintained that the Word was in place of the soul, or even in place of the intellect. Hence, since the will is in the reason, as Aristotle says, it followed that in Christ there was no human will, and thus there was only one will in him. So too Eutyches and all who held one composite nature in Christ were forced to place one will in him. Nestorius too, who maintained that the union of God and man was one of affection and will, held only one will in Christ. And hence in the Sixth Council held at Constantinople, it was decreed that it must be said that there are two wills in Christ, in the following passage. "In accordance with what the prophets of old taught us concerning Christ, and as he taught us himself, and the creed of the Holy Fathers has handed down to us, we confess two natural wills in him, and two natural operations." And this much it was necessary to say, for it is manifest that the Son of God assumed a perfect human nature. Now the will pertains to the perfection of human nature, being one of its natural powers, even as the intellect. Hence we must say that the Son of God assumed a human will together with human nature. Now by the assumption of human nature, the Son of God suffered no diminution of what pertains to his divine nature, to which it also belongs to have a will. Hence it must be said that there are two wills in Christ, that is, one human, the other divine. First objection. It would seem that in Christ there are not two wills, for the will is the first mover and first commander in whoever wills. But in Christ the first mover and commander was the divine will, since in Christ everything human was moved by the divine will. Hence it seems that in Christ there was only one will, namely the divine. Reply to the first objection. Whatever was in the human nature of Christ was moved at the bidding of the divine will, yet it does not follow that in Christ there was no movement of the will proper to the human nature. For the good wills of other saints are moved by God's will, who worketh in them both to will and to accomplish, as is written in Philippians 2:13. For although the will cannot be inwardly moved by any creature, yet it can be moved inwardly by God. And thus too, Christ by his human will followed the divine will, according to Psalm 39, "That I should do thy will, O my God, I have desired it." Hence St. Augustine says, "Where the Son says to the Father, 'Not what I will, but what thou willest,' what do you gain by adding your own words and saying, 'He shows that his will was truly subject to his Father,' as if we denied that man's will ought to be subject to God's will?" Second objection. An instrument is not moved by its own will, but by the will of its mover. Now the human nature of Christ was the instrument of his Godhead. Hence the human nature of Christ was not moved by its own will, but by the divine will. Reply to the second objection. It is proper to an instrument to be moved by the principal agent, yet diversely according to the property of its nature. For an inanimate instrument, as an axe or a saw, is moved by the craftsman with only a corporeal movement. But an instrument animated by a sensitive soul is moved by the sensitive appetite, as a horse by its rider. And an instrument animated with a rational soul is moved by its will, as by the command of his Lord the servant is moved to act, the servant being like an animate instrument. And hence it was in this manner that the human nature of Christ was the instrument of the Godhead, and was moved by its own will. Third objection. That alone is multiplied in Christ which belongs to the nature. But the will does not seem to pertain to nature, for natural things are of necessity, whereas what is voluntary is not of necessity. Therefore there is but one will in Christ. Reply to the third objection. The power of the will is natural, and necessarily follows upon the nature. But the movement or act of this power, which is also called will, is sometimes natural and necessary, for example with respect to beatitude, and sometimes springs from free will, and is neither necessary nor natural. And yet even reason itself, which is the principle of this movement, is natural. Hence besides the divine will, it is necessary to place in Christ a human will, not merely as a natural power or a natural movement, but even as a rational movement. Fourth objection. St. John Damascene says that to will in this or that way belongs not to our nature but to our intellect, that is, our personal intellect. But every will is this or that will, since there is nothing in a genus which is not at the same time in some one of its species. Therefore all will belongs to the person. But in Christ there was and is but one person, Therefore, in Christ there is only one will. Reply to the fourth objection. When we say to will in a certain way, we signify a determinate mode of willing. Now a determinate mode regards the thing of which it is the mode. Hence, since the will pertains to the nature, to will in a certain way belongs to the nature, not indeed considered absolutely, but as it is in the hypostasis. Hence the human will of Christ had a determinate mode from the fact of being in a divine hypostasis. That is, it was always moved in accordance with the bidding of the divine will. Article 4. Whether there was free will in Christ. It is written in Isaiah 7:15, He shall eat butter and honey, that he may know to refuse the evil and to choose the good, which is an act of the free will. Therefore there was free will in Christ. There was a twofold act of the will in Christ. One whereby he was drawn to anything willed in itself, which implies the nature of an end. The other whereby his will was drawn to anything willed on account of its being ordained to another, which pertains to the nature of means. Now as Aristotle says, choice differs from will in this, that will of itself regards the end, while choice regards the means. And thus simple will is the same as the will as nature, but choice is the same as the will as reason, and is the proper act of free will. Hence, since will as reason is placed in Christ, we must also place choice, and consequently free will, whose act is choice. First objection. It would seem that in Christ there was no free will. For St. John Damascene says that opinion, thinking or cogitation, and choice cannot possibly be attributed to our Lord, if we wish to speak with propriety. But in the things of faith especially, we must speak with propriety. Therefore there was no choice in Christ, and consequently no free will, of which choice is the act. Reply to the first objection. St. John Damascene excludes choice from Christ insofar as he considers that doubt is implied in the word choice. Nevertheless, doubt is not necessary to choice, since it belongs even to God himself to choose, according to Ephesians 1:4, He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, although in God there is no doubt. Yet doubt is accidental to choice when it is in an ignorant nature. We may also say the same of whatever else is mentioned in the passage quoted. Second objection. Aristotle says that choice is a desire of something after taking counsel. Now counsel does not appear to be in Christ, because we do not take counsel concerning such things as we are certain of. But Christ was certain of everything. Hence there was no counsel, and consequently no free will in Christ. Reply to the second objection. Choice presupposes counsel, yet it follows counsel only as determined by judgment. For what we judge to be done, we choose after the inquiry of counsel. Hence if anything is judged necessary to be done, without any preceding doubt or inquiry, this suffices for choice. Therefore it is plain that doubt or inquiry belong to choice not essentially, but only when it is in an ignorant nature. Third objection. Free will is indifferent, but Christ's will was determined to good, since he could not sin. Hence there was no free will in Christ. Reply to the third objection. The will of Christ, though determined to good, is not determined to this or that good. Hence it pertains to Christ, even as to the blessed, to choose with a free will confirmed in good.